Welcome to the Movies on the Brain podcast. I am one of your hosts, Brian C. Wood, and with me today is my co-host,
Chad Mintz.
Welcome to another weird, wild, and wacky week in the world of genre movie news. We now live in a world in which Batman vs. Superman Dawn of Justice has made approximately $36 million more domestically than Man of Steel. Welcome to that world, ladies and gentlemen. As we bring glad tidings of a DC restructuring, Chad, would you like to inform our loyal listeners as to the news that broke this week?
All right, and what everybody is dubbing as more fallout from Batman vs. Superman, Warner Brothers announced that Geoff Johns, creative head of DC. Mostly comics, but he's worked on the movies.
The guy who hosted the TV show that they did to preview all the stuff.
Yeah, with Kevin Smith. And John Berg, who is an executive at Warner Brothers. They are being put in charge of DC films. I don't know if they're actually going to be a distinct branch with his own brand of DC films, or if this is just what they're calling it. But apparently they will make all the creative decisions.
Allegedly
for DC films. Along with that, but not so much concerning what we're going to talk about with DC, Warner has decided to put heads over different specific genres or franchises. There's somebody over the Lego properties, which I think that person's also over Harry Potter. Somebody over like comedies and actions. It's something like that. But they split off each person in a different head. So, concerning us, we got the DC thing, and that's what everybody's looking at. But there's also this. I just want to say it, but
basically, what's going on here from a business standpoint is think of this as basically department heads. You know, you have your Secretary of State, you have your Secretary of Defense, you have your Secretary of Homeland Security, your Secretary of Education, but they all report back to the President, or the president gets informed of what's going on with all those departments. The same way with Warner's. Warner's is now taking a business model approach where they are putting specific people with backgrounds in these areas over the slates of those particular genres, so as to basically create department heads who all report back to the studio president. Warner's is in a situation where they're behind, as crazy as that sounds, for, you know, a studio that has Harry Potter and Lego. We now live in an environment where it took Disney less than 180 days to pass $1 billion at the domestic box office.
That's crazy.
They are going to break, the number that Universal did a year ago, and they will more than likely do it faster than Universal did a year ago. Fox is also in a similar, really good position because of Deadpool and its success, and also because of X-Men Apocalypse and a couple of other things that they have coming down the line. Universal will look forward to coming back next year with Despicable Me 3 and with Furious 8 and Jurassic World 2, I think, is scheduled for 17, I think. So they're in a studio war. And it's basically, at the year's end, when you look at the chart and you see that, you know, Warner's is finishing third or maybe even fourth of the big five, that puts some panic into people. So basically, what's going on is they're looking around, they're going, we have all these really valuable assets. We have Lego movie, you know, with, you know, Lego Ninjago movie coming out, the Lego Batman movie, and then, of course, Lego Movie 2 coming out. We've got Harry Potter and the Harry Potter franchise, which has a Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them franchise that's getting ready to start in November with Eddie Redmayne and all that. You've got all these DC properties, which, if managed correctly, is an abundance of potential characters that could spin off into their own films and franchises. So you have this great history of auteur-driven cinema on the dramatic side and producing Oscar-winning. You know, it's a studio that has both Paul Thomas Anderson and Spike Jonze working for it. So, mm-hmm. like, and Christopher Nolan.
Yeah.
So, like...
And Affleck at this point.
And Affleck. So, like, it has assets. It's just not maxing those assets out right now. Mm-hmm. And so what they... When they feel like they are behind from a perception standpoint, they want to reorganize and restructure so that they use this new business model to get the most out of all the assets that they have. And in our case, what we're talking about here is Pete Berg, and I think that was his name, right? John Berg. Pete Berg is a Pixar guy. Yeah. But what they're doing with these two guys is saying, look, get as much as you can out of our DC properties. Mm-hmm. And right now, we're too far down the line with Wonder Woman, they just wrapped filming, so they will probably do reshoots at some point down the line. Mm-hmm. And then Suicide Squad, which is already in the can and screening for select people. So you really can't do much with that.
Yeah.
What you can have a hand in, though, is the other 2017 movie, which is Justice League Part 1, and then also the Aquaman and Flash movies, which I think are both scheduled for 2018.
Yes.
So, you and then there's also that, I think they also had an undated DC movie for 2018 that's yes. supposed to be the Batman.
That's what we're expecting.
Everybody's expecting that to be co-written by Geoff Johns.
Yes.
So, those are all films that you can have a hand in shaping and molding and crafting. What's coming out this August and next June is nothing really you can do about.
I mean, maybe Wonder Woman and reshoots, but yeah, for the larger part, yeah, you're right.
This is a going forward thing.
Yeah. There's some debate on how much you can do with Justice League since, you know, they were allegedly shooting 2 weeks after Batman vs. Superman.
Allegedly have been shooting since the 1st of April, and we're now almost to the end of May, so...
Yeah, it's almost June, and we haven't seen anything about this movie, so... There's probably something going on there, but from what we know, we'll just say they started in April. If this restructuring is happening
with Stephen Wolf as the villain,
yeah. So if this restructuring is happening right now as we're learning about it, there's probably not a whole lot they can do because everything would have already been in motion. There's a lot with this announcement. I know fanboys have wanted Geoff Johns to be in charge for a long time.
We've speculated about it on this podcast, but like your assertion was from the beginning, that's a great idea because you do need your own Kevin Feige. Mm-hmm. The problem is you'd have to take Johns' titles away from everything else he does for DC and just have him focus on the movie side.
Yeah, because he's he's creative over DC Comics, so. Like, right now, DC is going through a big relaunch of all of their titles.
New 52 is over.
Yeah, and it's called Rebirth, and Geoff Johns is actually writing that story. The first issue comes out on Wednesday, Johns has wrote it, he's doing press for it right now. So, for me, I would think you would have to take him, if you want him to be the Kevin Feige, you'd have to take him away from that, and put him strictly over the movies. There are a couple of things with that, because you need a movie guy. But John's got his start in movies. He worked for Dick Donner on Lethal Weapon 3. He started there, and I know he got producer tags along the way, then he switched over to comics.
Well, he wrote a couple of episodes of Smallville, if I'm not mistaken.
Maybe he did. But he's worked in movies and television, so he's got a background in that. But with this, they're still not taking him away from that. And that might change after Rebirth gets going. But right now, he's kind of doing both. And I think that's why the John Berg thing is part of this. And that if you're going to do it and you're not going to take Johns away from the comic side, if he's just over the creative decisions that are going on and John Berg handles all of the other technical studio stuff, then this could work. Geoff Johns is going to be like dead tired but in like a year, but this could work. But with that, you have to ask, well, Geoff Johns, he has that Green Lantern credit. He was a producer on Man of Steel, Green Lantern, Man of Steel, and Batman vs. Superman. So, if he's had a producer title on all of those, did he actually have any creative input on all those? Or was it just a consultant, but we're still going to do our own thing? So, if he had any power, does that change anything? If you're really giving him all this power, will we actually see a change? So, it could be just a thing of, this is just an in-name only kind of thing. Or we could actually be getting, will we actually see any changes if he's actually given power? That is kind of that's the question I'm asking. I think, since I've read Geoff Johns, I know he has a handle on the characters. If he is given the creative control, I have faith in what he would do. I just don't know if he's going to actually have that power.
Well, I mean, the issue for me has always been I wanted to see what a non-Zack Snyder movie looks like in this universe, because a lot of the complaint about Marvel and the Marvel playbook is that a lot of the movies do feel similar. You know, the Thor movies do feel sort of similar to the first Captain America, the First Avenger. You know, the Iron Man movies all feel very similar. The Avengers movies feel very similar. Like, there's this formulaic complaint about Marvel. And when you have one steady hand, which is the common theme through all of those movies, is Kevin Feige, of course, and you're going to have a feel that is very similar, because you have this taste of one particular person overarching all of those films. And also, it's an overarching, long-form storytelling narrative. So, you know, every movie is going to play its part in advancing the larger narrative. And so, as a result, they're all going to feel similar. Mm-hmm. This is some of the issue that, for example, Alan Taylor had with Marvel, was that doesn't feel like an Alan Taylor movie. It feels like a Marvel movie.
Yeah.
But, you know, on the reverse of that, you look at James Gunn, and, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy is very much a James Gunn script,
yeah,
and Iron Man 3 is very much a Shane Black script, but they still have that Marvel feel to them and still serve the larger purpose of the overarching narrative. That was my question with DCEU, was, okay, we've seen two movies in this franchise, both by Zack Snyder. What is a non-Zack Snyder movie going to look like in this universe? And how much influence on tone and tenor, scope and scale, does Snyder have on Suicide Squad and Wonder Woman? Because he's executive producer on both.
Yep.
And he's the one who actually, at the end of the day, has to take Batman, who will apparently be in the Suicide Squad movie in some kind of role, whether it's flashback or present day, we don't know. And Wonder Woman, wherever she is at the end of her Wonder Woman movie, he's got to pick up those threads and he's got to work with them in Justice League Part 1.
Yeah.
So, how much tone, tenor, and control and influence does Snyder have on Patty Jenkins and David Ayer on Suicide Squad and Wonder Woman? That was what I was looking forward to seeing. Now, I kind of feel like that's a moot point. Because I kind of feel like, well, if Johns is in creative control and they're basically course correcting with Justice League Part 1, then ideally Snyder's influence on those two films would have been minimal anyway, and he's just basically going to be a director in name only on Justice League Part 1, and then would be replaced for Justice League Part 2, which is 2019.
Yeah.
Kind of makes me feel like Dead Man Walking, which isn't necessarily the best thing.
I mean, yeah, everything that's come out, it kind of seems like, any way you slice it, Zack would have less power. Which, at this point, I think is good, because before this, before Batman vs. Superman was coming out, it was pretty clear that Snyder was the head of everything, and as somebody that liked Man of Steel, I didn't want Zack Snyder to be over everything because, mostly because he's a film director. He's directing the different films.
But I thought that the way they had it structured before all of this was basically a version of Marvel's creative committee, where basically Zack and Deborah Snyder were part of the larger Brain Trust, but that Brain Trust also included Johns. It also included Affleck. It also included Nolan and Goyer. And, like, they were all collaborating on the direction. It was just that the tone and tenor of the universe was being shaped by these two Zack Snyder films.
I think more or less that is true. But, beside, I'm pretty sure Jeff Johns was there the whole way. But, like, Affleck and Nolan, they probably were there, but not as, they're all sitting in their own. And they get Snyder and they get Nolan and Affleck to, like, call in every now and then. But I think the main players in that room were the two Snyders and Charles Roven. And maybe Jeff was there along the way. But from everything I've read, while they all, like, had input, it was pretty much like Zach was, like, going around to the directors, like shaking stuff, which is I just never liked that, just because you got your own movies to do, you can have input into everything, but you shouldn't be the focal point of it. So I don't know how much, I doubt we'll see much of a change from Suicide Squad and...
Well, by the nature of Ayer's filmography, it's going to feel similar to Snyder. It's going to be dark, it's going to be violent, it's going to be intense. But it's also going to have a slight sense of humor.
And a better, more cohesive story.
Right. And, you know, this Training Day and End of Watch. I mean, two really good examples.
That's right.
But, like, Fury is really well done. Fury structured really well. I liked it. In Wonder Woman, that's a TV director coming into, you know, a female director from TV coming into this environment where it's showrunner-esque. So, you know, she's been given her episode with the woman. That cast, as we've talked about multiple times, is set up to carry, carry gal. And she's not going to be asked to do a lot of forward momentum with that Wonder Woman movie, mostly because it's the one would assume the majority of it is set in the past.
I think she's going to have the most control, mostly because she was going to do Thor 2, and she had, you know, the creative differences. And as we said, Marvel has a way of doing things. And
a bullpen, yeah.
Yeah, and I don't think she liked that. But she volunteered to come on to Wonder Woman.
After somebody else had already left due to creative differences. Yeah.
So I think
you cannot have the talking tiger. That is a bridge too far.
Yeah, that.
And the invisible jet? No, we're not going to let you do that.
I actually have no problem with either one of those things being struck down. But if those were the only constraints, she's like, no talking tiger, no invisible jet, go nuts. And she's like, oh, I can come over here, play with a superhero, and I have people like telling me exactly what to do. I'm good with that. And by the nature of this movie, it's the one that you can do the most with because it's 100 years in the past. It's not going to directly affect anything.
Although apparently she's supposed to be with Affleck out recruiting the other members of the Justice
League. Yeah, well, that's, you know, Zach's decision. One of many Zach's decisions that I don't like. But, all that to say is, if Jeff Johns is actually giving, like, creative control to, like, steer the universe creatively, and it doesn't have to be, like, Feige-esque in that Feige, like, sets the through line and people just carry it out. If it's to the fact of, like, okay, the director wants to do this, and Johns is like, no, that's not what the character would do, I'm fine with that. Because if he had the power to tell Snyder in Batman vs. Superman, no, Batman's not going to plow down this. He's not going to mow this sucker down with a machine gun and then drive right through it. I think that it is much better for it.
My Batman will not blatantly murder.
Yeah, it's just character moments like that. Because why? Everybody loved Ben Affleck as Batman. There are a lot of people who have issues with things like that. And they're not little things. They're things that are quick fixes. If somebody's just like, no, character wouldn't do that. and they find different ways to do the same thing without that. So that is my hope for Jeff Johns. But it still could just be a empty suit thing. We have to kind of wait and see.
So that DC slate that was announced a couple of Octobers ago, mm-hmm. Which sees Batman versus Superman and Suicide Squad this year. It sees Wonder Woman and Justice League Part 1 next year. And also sees Aquaman and The Flash in 2018. So somewhere they added some other dates in there, untitled movie for 2020, an untitled movie for 2018.
In October, yeah.
Where is the Harley Quinn spinoff movie going to be?
That is a good question.
Because that was something we found out this week, that Margot Robbie and her, you know, research and development for taking on the character of Harley Quinn, fell in love with the character, came up with a story idea, which wasn't probably very hard to do considering how many comic books Harley carries, both by herself and with other female villainesses, that she wants to develop this movie. And she brought on a female writer to help her kind of mold the idea, and that they are on board with it and they are running with it. Your thoughts on a Harley Quinn spinoff movie? Which will neither be origin story. It will not be an origin story because that's going to be covered in Suicide Squad. And it won't be a solo movie.
Yeah, because they mentioned in that was that she wanted other female stars in it. And the Birds of Prey, which would be the Huntress and Oracle, were mentioned. And Batgirl was mentioned, which is interesting because Batgirl and Oracle are the same person.
And I would also think that if Enchantress makes it out of Suicide Squad, she would be a potential.
I think this means we get Poison Ivy at least, yeah. Which is kind of exciting. Because I hadn't thought about it until right this moment that it probably means we're getting Poison Ivy. But I'm mixed on this. Only because...
Because Alicia Silverstone and Uma Thurman won't be reprising their roles?
No. Because that movie's terrible. That movie is goddamn awful. And I don't think anybody can make anything that bad again. I'm only mixed because... Warner Brothers, they're like...
Take two and call me in the morning.
Oh, God, that's all. Have you seen that thing lately?
No, I haven't. Like, since, like, 1999.
It comes on Stars every now and then, and it's like a train wreck. Like, if I'm going through the guide and I get on it, it's like I go to it, because it's, you cannot not watch this, because it's like, you see this locomotive coming, and this one coming head on, it's like, I know this is going to be bad, but I can't not watch it, and that's what that movie is. It is so terrible, but it's so, like, chew up everything around you terrible that you can't stop watching it. But I'm gonna stop talking about that terrible, terrible movie. I'm mixed on this only because we haven't seen Harley Quinn yet. We haven't seen Suicide Squad yet. I've seen Margot Robbie and stuff. I think she's going to be great in it. But they could have waited till after Suicide Squad to be like, hey, we have this movie in development. So if Suicide Squad is a hit, you add on to it. There's no harm, no foul.
Positive momentum.
Yeah. Now, if Suicide Squad comes out and lays an egg and you're like, oh, I'm holding this Harley Quinn movie now because I've already said it. You didn't have to say it. You put your...
Well, it's kind of the same situation they were just in with Dawn of Justice. Hey, Batman's the best part of Dawn of Justice. He's the first thing people are talking about. If not, you know, it's him and Wonder Woman. They're the only salvageable assets from this movie. And so Wonder Woman is honestly like, she doesn't have a whole lot to do, so you can't really truly form an opinion of whether or not she can carry her own movie. We know the Batman character is capable of carrying his own movie, and people really responded to the Batfleck. So we're going to do a Jeff Johns, Ben Affleck solo Batman movie in 2018. And it was trying to raise up the bad PR, lift them out of the bad PR position they were in, you know, getting killed with Dawn of Justice.
But you haven't gotten any bad PR from Suicide Squad yet. I mean, there are rumors out there, but nothing like mainstream bad PR. The Batman movie... Because Batman's been around for 77 years, and we've seen him make great franchises before, and people like this one. Yeah, you can pull that out, and everybody's going to be like, yes, that's going to work. Bravo, do that. Harley Quinn is much like Wonder Woman, actually a little bit less so, because we saw Wonder Woman in Batman vs. Superman. I think Wonder Woman can be a bit of fool's gold because she had 12 lines and fought at the end. So that's why everybody thinks she's cool. She hasn't had to say things to carry her own movie, but people are excited.
The Boba Fett effect.
Yes, people are excited about her. We can see. The only thing with Boba Fett is that, you know, he's got a mask on, so you can actually throw somebody in there that can act. If Gal can't do this, you're stuck. But we're going to be optimistic.
But, I mean, the whole problem with, you know, the rumors about a Boba Fett standalone movie, it's like, like, you take one of the elements of Boba Fett, which were mystique and, like, you know, intrigue and mystery, and you explained all of it away in the prequels in very crappy fashion.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes there are some things that, like, the Hulk, they think Marvel's finally figured out that Hulk works better as a supporting character in other people's movies and doesn't need to carry his own feature film. Same way, I mentioned this on our podcast, like, Wonder Woman could potentially be that Hulk that, like, everybody after the Avengers came out was clamoring for a solo Hulk movie, and if you had done a solo Hulk movie, it may not have actually turned out all that well, because maybe Ruffalo's Banner and Hulk aren't as compelling in large hour-and-a-half doses.
Yeah, I mean, she could turn out to be that way. If Wonder Woman turns out to be like that, it will be strictly because of who they picked to be her. I think the character is strong enough to carry a franchise. But it's going to all depend on the actress. Harley Quinn, I know the actress is good enough to carry a franchise.
And it's her idea.
And it is her idea, which is encouraging. It's just, you don't wait until Suicide Squad comes out and then make the announcement. I don't doubt people are going to like her. I think they're going to love Harley Quinn.
And she moves merch.
She does move merch. But, like, I know people that love Harley Quinn that actually hate what they've seen of Harley Quinn and Suicide Squad just on her appearance. So, you've got to get... There are Harley Quinn fans that you have to win back over. And the movie can probably do that. But, to me, there's just no reason to make this announcement until Suicide Squad comes out.
Alrighty. So, one last note. Can you please explain to me what... At this moment, the difference is between the careers of Zack Snyder and Mark Webb.
Zack Snyder's made a lot more money. I mean, as far as I know, Mark Webb has made, 500 Days of Summer and the two Spider-Man movies?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
And was a commercial director before that.
Well, Zack has made, you know, at least five that I can think of. Batman vs. Superman, Man of Steel.
300, Watchmen. 300.
The Owl Sucker movie Punch. And Sucker Punch. So he's made six. And of those, two of them have not made money, I guess. The Owl movie and Sucker Punch.
So, Legends of the Guardians.
Yeah, Guardians of Gahool or something like that. And that might have made a little money. I don't know. I don't know how much it costs. I don't remember much about that movie. I just know he did it.
Seems to me like there isn't a whole lot of difference, because, like, Mark Webb screwed up the Amazing Spider-Man franchise and wasn't really allowed to do anything afterwards.
I don't hate the first Amazing Spider-Man. I think
Webb could go back into independent filmmaking. I don't think that Snyder would be able to continue to be a blockbuster filmmaker if he gets fired from Justice League.
He's not an independent filmmaker. Zack Snyder's not an independent filmmaker.
Right, that's what I'm saying. I don't think he could continue to be in the blockbuster movie-making world, you know.
If he can't make blockbusters, I don't know what he can do. I agree, Mark Webb can go back and make independent films. The first Amazing Spider-Man told a story, even though Sony hacked it to pieces a little bit. The second one, with all the directives, was just a mess. But he can make a story. Zack's strong point is that visually, he's very good visually. He's not so good at the story. So if you take away blockbusters, you take away the visuals. And then, what's he going to do?
Alrighty. So, there's that movie franchise with Michael Bay as the director that has giant robots. Yeah. they announced that we knew for a while now that, as we had talked about on this podcast before, there was announcement made of a Transformers 5, 6, and 7, with Transformers 5 coming, and then a Bumblebee standalone movie, and then a Transformers 6, if you want to get technical about it. So, you want to tell the good people what the new title of the Transformers movie franchise is, the fifth installment?
No, I don't want to tell them, because I don't want this movie to exist.
Well, there is... See, we found out this week that it would be Transformers The Last Night.
Yeah. Why? Why?
With Cade Yeager returning, and with the guy from Las Vegas deciding that he needs to come back, and they still haven't gotten Tyrese or whatever. Not Tyrese. Is it Tyrese?
Yeah, it's Tyrese. Yeah. You're talking about...
Justin Domhill.
It's something dumb. It's JD something. The army guy in the first three.
The guy from Las Vegas.
Yeah. Tyrese, they haven't gotten Tyrese come back. But apparently, like Tyrese does, he's going on social media and like, say, bruh, y'all gonna take me back? Which is so Tyrese that it's pitiful, because it is pitiful.
Man wants to be Green Lantern so bad.
I can't knock Tyrese Hustle so much, because, I mean, he is in the Fast franchise, and he lucked up into the Fast franchise, and
his movie wasn't the one that he decided to act like never existed.
Yeah, I've seen that second one. It is not good. But, so he lucked up that Vin Diesel didn't want to come back.
Hey, they've already said Eva is coming back for Fast 8. So continuing to treat that movie like it actually exists.
Well, I mean, it exists because Tyrese is there. We have to acknowledge that it happened in some form or fashion. But he's got that. And I understand you want other things. But stop, like, you know, this is all intents and purposes. This is begging, Tyrese. You're begging. Look, I want to be a superhero too. I'm not going to say it's above me to, like, beg on social media if I was in a position to. But you're in the Fast franchise. You make money. You've got an agent. That's what he's for. Let him beg for you behind the scenes, so I don't have to know and call you a begging loser on a podcast. You can just go through the proper channels, have the agent beg for you. Nobody ever knows. And now you're begging for a movie that you were already in, and they haven't called you yet. So, again, you have an agent. Go through the proper channels, or realize they don't want you to. So, but... I wish you well, Tyrese. Hopefully you get into the movie with your banging ass. All that to say, forget this movie. I don't want this movie to exist. There's so many questions about this, because in the last terrible movie that I had to sit through after falling asleep on it, was Optimus, this new age, not heroic. I'm just going to like mow people down. And shout and basically be like,
I'm gonna kill Kelsey Grammer.
Yeah, I'm gonna be the Punisher like version of Optimus Prime. Nothing heroic at all. I'm just gonna cap you and move on and shout out witty banter as I do it. He flies off into space with his big Cybertron sword and is like going to Cybertron. So I'm assuming
they did not say Cybertron. They did not say who the sword belonged to. And this has led people to believe that there is the possibility that, because as we know, Hasbro has talked about their magnetic shared universe, there is the possibility of Rom Space Knight being the last knight, and that it being Rom Space Knight's sword that he found in the ship in Age of Extinction, and it's his sword that Optimus is going to return to him in this movie, and that he, Rom, is in fact the last knight.
It's time like this, I wish we had video. Because as Brian has explained this to me, I have this blank look on my face. Because, one, I just thought it was a regular Transformer sword. I really had no idea where it came from.
Again, they didn't either, until they got in that writer's room and figured out that they wanted an expanded shared universe with Rom the Space Knight.
Okay, so even though I've sat there and I've watched the whole movie again after falling asleep, I'm still fuzzy on the part that I originally fell asleep on. Even though I've seen it now, It's still like I fell asleep on it.
There are four endings to that movie.
So
1,800 American flags.
So did he get that sword when they were on the big ship?
Like the sword was in the ship. I believe.
It was just a random sword in the ship.
I believe so. I watched that movie in theaters and I have not seen it since.
You're a better man than me.
It was Saturday morning, and it was me and three other people in the theater, which should have told you something.
Because it's terrible. So, the sword is not his. He just found it in the ship, and he knows who it's for, because he's Optimus, and because. And he's going to give it to somebody who...
Which led, the at the time, to the rumors, because everybody complains about their biggest issues... With the Transformers franchise has always been the human characters. People have been begging for a Transformers movie in space. And so the thought was, when he leaves Kate Yeager and the boys in China and flies off into space, that the next movie wasn't going to involve any human characters at all, and it was going to be Transformers in space. And now we know that, you know, Kate Yeager is going to be back, and they're going to have all these other elements. They're talking about maybe bringing the G.I. Joes in and all this other stuff. See, so
That was my point when I was talking about Optimus going off to space with the sword.
Right.
This is space. But yeah, you say Kate Yeager, and I'm like, oh, so we're going to be back on Earth.
Little Disney Channel actress got cast in Transformers 5. Like, they are going to have an Earth set story.
Yeah. Yeah, so since Marky Mark is there, and we're going to be on Earth a lot. So, why? Why?
Because Michael Bay wants to. And because he commissioned a whole bunch of people to sit in a room for 3 days and come up with a half-baked idea for a shared universe.
See, that's the thing. The Hasbro commissioned that room.
17 to 20 people in a room.
And when they commissioned that room, there was no word on Michael Bay being back for Transformers 5. So everybody, that's why I got hopeful. Was like, oh, they're bringing in this guy, and they are going to make this whole big story. Yay, it's going to work. And then, like, they disband the room, and like a day later, Michael Bay is directing Transformers 5. I'm like, well, that was pointless, because we're not doing anything what these guys said. We're going to go blow some more stuff up and fly some flags and see some prepubescent teen in front of a car with like half her ass showing. That's what we're going to do on this. And how we're going to do all that when Optimus is flying off into space, I don't know. But that's where we're at. And damn you, Transformers. I am not going to see this movie unless somebody pays me. Unless somebody's paying us to go see this movie, I'm not going to see it. So, if y'all want to hear us talk about Transformers, somebody better pay something, because I'm not going to do it. I'm not doing it.
On the upside, we also learned this week that they're doing a Tetris movie. In the vein of the Thriller. And not just one Tetris movie, a trilogy of Tetris movies.
So, I blame Lego. Because I know when I heard there was a Lego movie coming out, I was like, this is stupid. And then I saw the trailer and I'm like, this is genius. There's no part of me that can fathom a Tetris movie being good. Like, I hear this, and when I hear this, I think of somebody sent me this video of Tetris actually happening, and in it, there's like these Tetris guys sitting there, and one of them is saying the piece while the person is playing, and they're talking about it amongst themselves, and the person is waiting for a line piece, and the dude just won't say line piece. And then he messes up, and then the dude just starts loading him down with line pieces, and he loses the game. I was entertained by that, but I can't see a movie of that, let alone three. And that is the only entertaining Tetris movie I can imagine. That's the only thing. So, what studio is doing this? I have no idea.
I don't either. It's a Thriller, though. Battleship and Candyland and Monopoly are still in development at Paramount. Well, I mean,
Battleship already happened. It was god awful.
Yeah.
Candyland, if you make it animated.
No, live action.
Okay, I'm going to say it again. Candyland, if you make it animated, you can go for that. Monopoly, again, I would say animated, but I don't know. So I'm just going to, whatever. I don't want to watch Moneybags bankrupt people because that's what's going to have to happen. But I would take any of those movies before this one. We're talking about rearranged blocks that make lines. That's it. How am I going to get three movies that are thrillers out of that?
Well, we also learned this week that they're doing a Centipede movie.
What?
Yes, not the, like, human Centipede, but, like, the Atari game Centipede.
Like, you just saddened me on two different levels because you reminded me about Human Centipede. And why? Look, we haven't had a successful video game movie yet. Yet. And y'all are throwing lob balls at Tetris and Centipede. Stop it. Go find a book. There's plenty of them. Go find a book. Tetris and Centipede. No.
Well, they, and then there's also the Pong. They can also.
I'm not going to even dignify that with the tantrum.
Alright, so, speaking of surprising news, we learned this week that The Rock is going to take on another project in his ever-growing list of pantheon of movies.
When does this dude sleep? Because at the beginning of the year, he laid out his schedule. He was doing, I think he finished shooting Ballers. Then he went to shoot...
Fast 8 in Cuba.
No, he finished shooting Ballers, then he did Baywatch. He just finished Baywatch. He's going straight from Baywatch to Fast 8, which is shooting right now. He was supposed to go from Fast 8 to Rampage, but Rampage got canceled, so it looks like he's going from Fast 8 to Jumanji. And then from Jumanji, there's another one at the end of the year, too. He's working the entire calendar year of 2016.
Hence the reason why he hasn't been back to a WrestleMania to actually have a match.
He actually had a match, though. He had a match. Yeah, so he squeezed in a WrestleMania moment from,
in actual, a five-hour show.
Yeah, yeah, in a five-hour show. He got a WrestleMania moment. He got a win. He's got an actual W in the record books. So, I'm expecting The Rock to drop dead in the middle of 2017 because there's no way. I know he looks like Superman, but goddamn, sleep something.
Well, this week he added Doc Savage and a Universal Jason Bourne type book series, shared universe.
I think it's
to his resume.
I think it's the same guy that wrote Jason Bourne wrote these books. I forget the name of it, but it is in that kind of Jason Bourne vein, but different. Which, all I can say is, you can't stop The Rock, so why not? From Universal standpoint, but again, the guy got to sleep.
And not only that, I love the Doc Savage, Shane Black idea. That sounds like it could be really fun.
It does. Most of the things he's doing, particularly this year, I have, no issues with. I know you got an issue with Jumanji. I don't really care.
Jack Black to the cast.
We didn't talk about... you didn't go off on that. I'm not going to start you off on that one. But...
if he's playing the hunter, I will want to hunt something.
Have you actually read the book?
I have.
Okay.
In third grade.
Yeah, when we talked about it on Tuesday, I went upstairs and I looked at the book. I'm like, I didn't know that it was just a picture book, and it's really, really short, and there's only the kids in it. So, in that vein, they can do whatever the hell they want. But, I understand.
Well, there's Jumanji, the movie, what we were talking about on Tuesday was the Favreau-directed Xertha, which is written by the same author.
Yeah. Might have to check and see if we had that one too, but.
But the Jumanji, I don't know, man. Kevin Hart and Rock and Jack Black, and it's just you don't understand the material. The original, it's about a boy who gets sucked into a world in which there are jungles and people hunt human beings, and it's a very scary, dark place. And he gets called out of that game 30 years later to find out that most people believe that his own parents chopped him up into a suitcase and threw him into the river. Okay, think about Captain America. Like, Captain America comes out of the ice and pretty much believes everybody he loves is dead. And, like, then the guy who hunted him while he was in the jungle for those 30 years gets taken out of the game as well, and now has to go, is now back on the hunt for him, this time in real life. All while trying to deal with the fact that he has his girlfriend from 30 years ago who felt responsible for his disappearance, and two new little kids who are completely responsible for the whole damn thing because they decided they wanted to play this neat little game that they found underneath the floorboard somewhere. You know, it's just like, I would much, much, much rather you just say that the kids who were walking along that French beach at the end of the original picked up the damn game and started playing it themselves. Like, that's a better, like, don't try and remake it, just pick it up. Those kids walking along the beach picked up the game, and now they're going to start chaos in a new location. That I can deal with. But, like, let's remake the original with, you know, no. So, alright. So let's move back into our discussion of comic book movies and genre movies. Bryan Singer out there doing talk for Apocalypse, which comes out this week. It has already done over $100 million in its overseas run. And he talked about the idea of the female Wolverine for this X-Force movie everybody keeps talking about, which seems to, like, be sort of silly to me because I thought the next thing they want to really put in the pipeline and pump out would be the Deadpool sequel with Cable.
Well, to that I say, again, one, does continuity ever matter to Bryan Singer? And two, Deadpool is the most successful X film in Fox franchise, and Bryan Singer had absolutely nothing to do with it. So why would he talk about that instead of talk about something else that he can sink his claws into?
Well, I was talking about more the fact of X-Force. Like, they've been talking about this X-Force movie and the New Mutants movie.
That is if he's trying to squeeze it in X-Force, that means he would be infringing upon Deadpool so that he can get his claws into the most successful thing that they've got going for him. Good job, Bryan Singer. This is more or less, okay, so I may know some things, so I'm going to try not to say some things, but there's a very specific reason why he's talking about this outside of the Hugh Jackman part, that deal with his movie. I'm going to leave that at that. But as far as...
So we don't believe they're doing Old Man Logan anymore?
No, they're doing Old Man Logan, X-23 or what people would think would be X-23, there are ties to that in the stinger at the end, the after credit stuff. But more besides that, this is more to do with their thought that nobody can replace Hugh Jackman as Wolverine, but the X-Men need Wolverine because apparently they just do. So they would give us the female clone of Wolverine, and that takes care of having a Wolverine and not having to take and not having to replace Hugh Jackman. That's, I think, the larger issue of why this X-23 keeps coming up.
I mean, I get it. I still run into the Kelly Hugh problem, but that's because I actually give a crap about continuity and such.
Nobody making these movies does.
No, apparently not. Kinberg's not Kinberg's strong suit.
No.
But, I mean, what's interesting to me is, like, the lukewarm domestic reception to Apocalypse. Like, everybody here who talks about Apocalypse, who's seen it, it's like, it's a thing. Like, it's there. I mean,
that is...
Singer really hasn't done anything different since 2003.
Let me look it up. That is very much the case, but I think their gamble is paying off because...
No one's remembering the fact that there were bad publicity.
Yeah.
The reviews stunk.
No, nobody's remembering it, but they're just now getting that it's coming out this week. So people are starting to think, oh, X-Men's coming out this week. But they completely have no idea about the reviews that have come out so far. And I know the score, since we first talked about it, the score is like 40-something on Rotten Tomatoes. I think it's going It's gotten up to the 50s the last time I checked. I'm going to look at it right now. But, I mean, if it's close to the 60s, everybody forgets the reviews that ravaged it 3 weeks ago, it's going to be fine, and it's going to do what an X-Men movie does, which is not what Deadpool does.
And not a bit, but still not $1 billion.
No, not even. It's at 51%. So it's going to do X-Men business, which I think the X-Men movies kind of top out about $800 million. Mm-hmm. I'm still curious to see how Alice affects X-Men. Granted, Through the Looking Glass has a 44%,
and it's getting killed.
Yeah, it's getting destroyed. But
the first one got destroyed too, and still made $1 billion.
I know this movie's coming out, but I don't hear anything about it unless I look for it.
The only thing that I continue to think about that movie is the write up from Comic Con last year. That just was like, stop whatever you're doing, stop reading this, just go do something more productive with your life.
The first movie's terrible. But it made $1 billion. And I know Tim Burton's not directing this one.
No, he was busy doing Miss Pettigrew's Home for Peculiar Children. He's doing that one?
Mm-hmm. Oh. I'm not that fond of Tim Burton these days. But whenever you see any promos for this movie, I don't know who's directing it, because all they say is, produced by Tim Burton. Yeah. So, I think it's... Alice is going to do what it's going to do. I don't think it's going to make $1 billion, but I'm eager to see how much of it will eat into what X-Men is going to do.
And if it does, I mean, that's just another feather in the cap for Disney.
Man, if this makes $1 billion, that would be, I mean, Zootopia is pretty damn close. I don't think Jungle Book's going to get there, but it's well exceeded what they thought, and I'm pretty sure it's like around $800 million.
Three of the top four highest grossing movies of the year are Disney movies.
Yes. So, by the time we're done, there's a chance they can have four. It'll probably end up with three, because something will knock one of those out. But Caps are going to stay in the top five. Zootopia is going to stay in the top five. Rogue One is probably going to join them in the top five. So, it's a question of, does Jungle Book make enough to stay in the top five or not? That would be insane for Alice to make $1 billion. But if it does, they can just lock all that up, which is nuts. Freaking nuts.
So, I'm interested to see what the box office reception for Apocalypse is, because, you know, Garner, J-Lo is out there talking about the fact that I'll come back if they ask, I guess, is kind of what she's been saying.
She said, yes, she would like to come back, but then she would think about it, and more or less what she was saying was, is this movie worth my 3 months of my time? Because she only signed up for three movies, so this is it.
Right.
And then she further went on to say that her, McAvoy, and Fassbender were talking, and they basically like made this pact that if one of them doesn't come back, none of them come back. To which I say, please kick her out. You two can come back. I like you. I don't hate Jennifer Lawrence. I just don't like her as Mystique. She can go away. But like you, I'm eager to see the box office. And I think, again, Bryan Singer's going to prove to be a Teflon Don when it comes to X-Men. He's going to escape getting ravished early on to make money on the back end.
And then he's going to be able to finally do Dark Phoenix the way that he wanted to.
Good God. He's going to take the X-Men to space, and I don't even know how I feel about that. Even he has Superman, and he only took him to the stratosphere. That's it. So I don't know what he's going to do when he gets full-blown space.
Well, I'm not sure that they'll do the Dark Phoenix story with the space movie.
From
everything we've heard, it's like basically hit over your head set up.
In this one, yes. Yeah. And there's no space mentioned. But, I mean, I would think that you would at least do, like, mention the Shi'ar or something else. I don't know.
All right. Well, let's move on to the most successful comic book franchise property, House of Ideas, that being the lovely people at Marvel, who just keep casually dropping Friday news dumps and, like, winning the news cycle without even really trying.
Man, look, I was sitting at work. I was getting ready to go. And it just the official Marvel press release strolled across my timeline. I'm like, I started reading. I'm like, what? Wait, what? Because just last podcast we were like, oh, we'll get the cast release of Thor in November, and Marvel said, no, you get it now. And not only are you gonna get it now, we're gonna give you the full cast. We're gonna give you the names. We're giving them to you right now. And there are people you don't even know about that are gonna be in this movie, and you're gonna lose your mind. And they were right. Because we got confirmation that Kate Blanchett is in it, and she's going to be playing Hela. We've got Tessa Thompson, and she's going to be Valkyrie.
No Enchantress.
And then here comes the trippy parts, which was Jeff freaking Goldblum, Mr. Independence Day, The Fly, is in this movie. And nobody had one clue. Did you know?
The only reason I know is because on the set visit that they did for Independence Day, Collider asked him if he was had any interest in doing a comic book movie.
That's right.
And he said that there was something that he couldn't quite talk about, but would be made public very soon.
That's right, he did say that. And I remember when he said that, and it was kind of a big deal.
And everybody started trying to fanfic him into either DC, Marvel, or Fox.
Yeah, and yeah, I just couldn't
figure. Have played that guessing game for a billion years never come up with this one.
And that's why I kind of lost it, because I'm like, I'm not going to do this game. I don't know. He can be anywhere. I have no clue. So I completely forgot about it. But yeah, you're right. He did say that. So this makes sense now. But he's in the movie. He is the... I have all these suckers written out. He is going to be the Grandmaster, who I have no idea who that is.
The Grandmaster is one of the masters of the universe, the elders of the universe, of which the Collector is also one. And his whole deal is basically game maker. Yeah. He's a guy who likes pitting superheroes against one another and likes running games.
I didn't know all that. I just saw a picture of him, and he's blue, which is intriguing.
With
a
yellow
me.
Collar,
yeah,
gray hair.
So Jeff Goldblum's probably going to be blue, and that's going to be fun.
Mocap, probably.
They can do him like they did Yondu, unless they're making him big and huge.
Yeah.
And Carl Urban, Judge Dredd himself, mm-hmm. is in the movie as Scourge. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who will be the muscle for Helena, more than likely.
Thor's gonna fight Carl Urban, which, outside of the fact
that Australian versus Australian violence.
Yeah, well, outside of the fact that I know Chris Hemsworth is like legitimately like 6 foot, and Carl Urban is like 5'9", outside of that dynamic that they're gonna clearly cheat on, I can't wait. I'm like, it just blew my mind that this entire cast was announced on a random, like, it was late. I mean, LA time is like 2 o'clock, but it's still like
a news dump. Yeah.
Yeah, like, why do you drop it, like, just casually on a Friday afternoon when you can drop it on Monday and get it run for, like, 3 days because there's nothing else going on right now? Which, now that I say that out loud, what do they have that they can just drop that's going to, that they just decided to do?
Sylvester Stallone is playing Ego the Living Planet in Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
No, it's got to be more than that. That would still be something. But it's got to be more than that.
I mean, in the last 3 weeks, between the critical and popular reception for Civil War, the announcement of the cast for Black Panther, and then this, like, Jeff Goldblum, Kate Blanchett, and Carl Urban are in a Marvel movie, along with Anthony Hopkins Tom Hiddleston.
Yeah, we got confirmation that Anthony Hopkins is coming back. So, but he won't be, he can't be old beggar Odin since we won't have Earth, which is a little sad.
Yeah, Geek.com looks like they got that one wrong about there's only going to be like 2 scenes on Earth, so I doubt we get crazy old man Odin.
But it's all of this in one cast. Yeah, to go along with Black Panther and the other thing that dropped on Friday that we'll get to. I mean, I guess in the grand scheme, yeah, they don't really need anything else new good because it's been showering like gold nuggets over there in Marvel for the past 6 weeks. So why not? just give you this news dump. Here, have fun. We don't need the good press from it because everything is turning up aces over here. So, yeah.
And, like, Feige is on record as saying, like, we like to make our third movies pretty important. You know, we did this. Iron Man 3 is a pretty important film. Captain America Civil War is a very important film. Thor Ragnarok has been said from the announcement press conference at the El Capitan that, like, this movie is as vital to Phase 3 as Winter Soldier is to Phase 2. And
I mean, I have to imagine that most of the heavy lifting for the first of the Avengers movie and the Avengers movies get done in this. So I imagine that we'll see Thanos in this one, but they're not going to give us that. They'll give us everything else.
Yes, because he needs to meet his mistress, Helena.
I really want it to be her so she can be in like three of these movies. Good God, man.
Well, I mean, we also got the news this week that Catwoman, Basic Instinct,
Sharon Stone,
said that she is in a Marvel movie.
Yeah, she did say that. And so I heard somebody say, she'll be in Ant-Man too. So her and Michael Douglas can be back together and it'll be all funny and stuff. Like, well.
She would be young. Janet Van Dyne.
Well, she ain't young now, but yeah, she could be Janet.
Well, I mean, we don't know necessarily how the Quantum Zone would treat an individual who'd been in there for 30 years.
I mean, if they're gonna get Sharon Stone to be Janet, I guess she would have aged. She just aged at a normal rate. But if not, I don't know. I don't know what she's gonna be at this point. I'm just like, y'all just show me. It's y'all to just. Whatever y'all do is working, y'all just show me and I'll go with it.
Again, they made a talking raccoon, a sentient tree being, Ant-Man, and soon to be Ego the Living Planet, a thing. So, you know, they can do no wrong.
They can.
So, I mean, I'm really interested to see, like, this needs to be the strongest story. I mean, Devin from Birth Movies Deaths reported time and again that this is their darkest script. You're rounding out the Loki-Odin dynamic. You know, the idea of Tom Hiddleston and Cate Blanchett on the screen at the same time. You know, the fact they're doing the crazy headdress with Helena. They showed in the concept art.
Oh, they're going to do that?
it's all very just, like, insane that we're living in a time where they can make that a thing and, like, it not be an issue.
I never thought I'd see the day, but yeah, this is what a time to be alive.
Indeed. So, Chad, there was a movie that we were talking about last time that we were saying we hadn't seen any new promotional materials from, and that they needed to put out some new materials. What happened with that? Did anything new come out this week?
Oh, you're talking about that one franchise that you boo every time you see it?
That would be the Ghostbusters franchise.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, we got there's not one, but there are two new trailers. Mm-hmm. Because, of course, they release one here and one international, which is pointless to me because as soon as it's released internationally, I get to see it here. So, can we just have one? Mm-hmm. But, despite all that, yeah, we got a new Ghostbusters trailer, and, I'm the wrong person to judge this, because I don't hold the original series in such high esteem. I actually care more for the cartoon than the movies, so I don't care. I really don't. The only thing I care about on this is that my daughter, who's a girl, by virtue that she's my daughter, she likes Ghostbusters. She had seen the original movie. She likes those. And when she saw the remake was coming and there were four girls, she got really excited. So that makes me happy. But outside of that, I don't care. So I saw this trailer and it didn't change my mind one way or another. I don't hate what I'm seeing, but it doesn't make me want to go out and see it. My only thing from the trailers is that months ago, I sent you this link with the proposed
New York Comic Con.
Yeah, it had toys from
a pop vinyl. Yeah,
yeah, and it showed what they were saying was the big bad of Ghostbusters, and it looks like if you the Ghostbusters emblem, if you take that ghost out, give him legs and put a red bow tie on him, That's what it looked like. And I saw that, I'm like, if that's the big bad, that is freaking terrible. At the end of the trailer, they show us this guy, but he's like huge, like Stay Puft Marshmallow Man huge. We only get a clip of him, but he's there. So that's the only thing that stuck out to me. And at that point, I just want to know, is he somebody new or is he this version of Stay Puft? That's all I want to know.
Okay, so let's review. In the trailer, we got a shot of a machine that is amplifying paranormal activity that is located on the top of a roof of a building in New York City. We got shots of Slimer. We got shots of the perceived big bad roaring with his mouth open, spitting fire, big white tall thing with a bow tie that looks very, very, very evocative of the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. And we got demon possession, like ghost possession by Chris Hemsworth. What does this remind you of? Like a rooftop battle at the end, a rooftop battle, a giant white creature that's walking around New York City, Slimer. What do these elements suggest to you?
The original 84 Ghostbusters?
There you go. Okay. I've had this exchange many, many times on this podcast. I'm ready for this movie to come out so that we can all stop talking about it. Let me reiterate for the billionth time. I am not a sexist. Okay. There are a couple things. One, I obsessed over the Pepper Potts not being in Civil War, and apparently some people picked up on that. So I apologize for ranting on Pepper Potts for 20 minutes, but that doesn't make me a sexist either. Look, here's my problem. Star Wars: The Force Awakens did an incredible job of melding the past with the present, and making us care about Rey, Finn, and Poe, while also making us weep bitter tears of sadness when Han Solo met his fate. They did the right thing. They did callbacks. And you can make the case that, as many people do, Force Awakens is pretty much beat for beat A New Hope. Mm-hmm. Which is fine. The problem I have with Ghostbusters is you're hitting all the same comedic beats. Exchange out a hotel for a concert, and you pretty much have the same beats being hit. And add to that the fact, and this is what people have to understand. Please understand this, Internet. This is why I am upset about this movie. I have full faith and knowledge that every living original cast member from the original two movies was on set and filmed a cameo. And according to all reports, did so under a different character name. Now, imagine for a moment if when the press release went out for Star Wars Episode 7, with J.J. being announced as the director, said that Carrie Fisher, Mark Hamill, and Harrison Ford were going to be in this new movie, but they weren't going to be called Luke Skywalker, Leia, Orago, and Han Solo. The internet and human beings all around the world would just go off. Because my biggest thing is that you have to be one or the other. You either have to be a torch-passing movie, which has all of the kids, has all of the originals and all of the original team on the screen at the same time, and a literal passing of the proton back. Or you need to completely ignore the comedic beats, the story points, the creature designs, the actors from the original movie, the setting, like, you could have very easily taken it from New York to Boston, where they actually filmed, and that would have helped differentiate it from the original Ghostbusters. But you either do that and do a hard reboot, or you do the torch passing movie. Because the second that Bill Murray shows up on my movie screen and he's in a Ghostbusters movie and he's not being called Peter Venkman, I'm going to be taken completely out of the movie that I'm in. And it's going to lessen my enjoyment of it, because I'm going to be wondering why in the hell he's not being called Venkman. So, you know, that's my problem. My issue isn't that it's all women. I encourage women. I encourage diversity in filmmaking. I mean, heck, we live in a world where, you know, for as much flack as Marvel gets, in the comics, Nick Fury's a white guy. In the comics, Heimdall is a white guy. Okay? So they've gender-swapped and race-swapped different roles before. Robin, Colby Smulders' role is originally a male role in the comic books. Like, they've gender-swapped and race-swapped plenty over at Marvel. It's just nothing to the extent and the size of what people want. But, like, I'm all for these four female comedians. I'm all for diversity. I'm all for representation on the screen. The problem for me is that you have to be one or the other. And that's why I am starting to feel that we are in a Fantastic Four type situation where Paul Feig is no longer in complete creative control of his own movie. It feels increasingly to me like that first trailer caused so much backlash that it scared Sony to death. And you remember Feig said on Twitter that Slimer wasn't in the movie.
Did he?
Somebody asked him, and he said, "Sorry, bro, Slimer's not in the movie." And then the trailer shows Slimer's in the movie. So I'm increasingly of the belief that the cameos for the original characters, for the original cast members, the Slimer cameo, and all of that, the four scientists card at the beginning of the movie, at the beginning of the trailer. I'm increasingly believing that all that was done by the studio to try and placate fans. Like, hey, don't bash us completely because there are elements here of the thing that you love. So please come see our movie.
Yeah. That is an interesting point, and I'm looking at it right here. He did say... Yep. He did say, no Slimer in the movie. Because it was, oh, wait. Dang it.
Yeah. I mean, somebody asked him on Twitter, and he said no. And then the first trailer drops, and, like, clearly Slimer's in the movie. And that's, again, my problem. Like, if you want to do a hard reboot with four female leads in a world where ghosts have never existed, then go do it and set it in Boston and have all new ghosts that look different. Don't use Slimer. Don't use a giant white dude with a bow, white creature with a bow tie. Don't have it set in New York City. Don't put the machine that's amplifying paranormal activity at the top of an apartment building. Like, don't hit the beats while disrespecting that the original even exists.
Well, on the Slimer thing, he has it out because the question came about because IMDb had Slimer listed with Dan Cancellara's voice as for Slimer. And he just said, sorry, gang, that IMDb credit is not true. Gotta unconfirm that one. So, if he wants to take that out, he'd be like, well, Cancellara didn't voice Slimer. Slimer's still in the thing.
We don't know that Cancellara didn't voice him. We haven't heard Slimer speak.
Yeah. So, I don't know. At this point, I just want to see this movie to see...
No, at this point, you want to see this movie because you want to get your popcorn and sit back and watch me watch this movie.
No, I don't want to actually sit there and watch you wig out the whole time at the movie. I want to see this movie's any good. Like, is this movie even worth everything that's going into this movie, good and bad? Or is it just going to be like, this movie could very well just be like it's an okay kind of movie that doesn't deserve any of anything that's going towards it. It doesn't deserve that kind of effort. It's just for a blah movie. But it could be terrible. Well,
the problem is that Feig doesn't make blah movies. Like all of his movies are very well received. Bridesmaids, The Heat, Spy. They're not okay movies. They're great critically acclaimed comedies. And in the case of Bridesmaids and Spy, make a lot of money. If there was one filmmaker to take this franchise over, he is the guy that I would have picked. Him or Apatow would have been the guys that I would have picked to take this over. And again, I think people get so obsessed with the fact that this is an all-female cast. If this was Jason Segel, Seth Rogen, James Franco, and Jonah Hill as the four new Ghostbusters, and you went around yelling and screaming at the top of your lungs that this had nothing to do with the former movies and took place in a world where ghosts don't exist, and yet you still had Slimer and the Stay Puft Marshmallow-type villain and the machine that amplifies paranormal activity on the top of an apartment building in New York City, you'd still be catching flack.
I don't think you'd be catching as much flack. I mean, there are going to be people like you, and that's going to be...
Because it insults my intelligence. It's like, no, those other movies didn't exist.
But
and again, when all you have to do is simply say, it's New York City. Like, a lot has changed in New York City over 30 years since Ghostbusters 2. Like, people come and go. Like, and there have been other big events that have happened in New York City since Ghostbusters 2. So it's not like people go around talking about, like, oh, you remember that time that the Statue of Liberty walked around downtown blaring disco music and the Ghostbusters were, like, encouraging people to get happy so that they could break the shell that was protecting the art museum so that they could go in and take care of that painting that was causing so many issues?
I still think if it were not for women and they saw that, I do think there's a section of fan base that would be just like you, but I think the large majority would be like, oh, they're like remaking Ghostbusters. And then there'll be some people that feel some type of way about that, and others would be like, I don't care, or I want to see that. I do think that this one is catching so much flack because it is for women.
Which is why the original, like, at least Murray said that he wanted to do the cameo to give credence to the movie and to help take some of the burden off these ladies. But, like, my thing is, as long as Aykroyd and Murray and Hudson and Weaver and Potts draw breath upon this earth, if you're going to do a Ghostbusters movie, they should be a part of it. Because it's theirs. Like, without Murray and Aykroyd and Ramis, this thing doesn't exist.
Yeah.
And it only worked once. Now, everybody knows the stories about Murray saying that, like, we had a different script for Ghostbusters 2, and when we got to set, that script no longer existed. But it only worked the once. Ghostbusters 2 isn't as beloved as the original. But I just, like, if you're going to do it, whether it be with a male cast or a female cast, I don't care. As long as those men and women draw breath, they should be in it, they should be a part of it, and they should be there. Original characters.
Well, you'll get half of that.
I don't believe that I'm not a sexist, and I hope that he can understand that where I'm coming from on this is not from a standpoint of sexism. It's just there's really no point in making a movie that exists outside of the canon. I mean, it's just, there's no reason for it. So, all right. Well, that'll do it for this week's episode of the Movies on the Brain podcast. If you want to keep up with this podcast, you can follow us on Twitter @BCW Tiger Fan.
And @TheMetsTheory.
Thank you very much. And next week, we will be here talking all about X-Men Apocalypse.
Yay!
So come back for that while Chad can cry in his misery. All right, we'll see you next week.